My name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, where each week I speak with inspiring, passionate people who share their knowledge and expertise, all to help you build a better business as a small firm entrepreneur architect. Kevin Stevens, welcome to Entree Architect Podcast.
Thanks, Mark. Great to be here. I really appreciate you having me on the show.
Oh, I'm excited about this one. We're going to talk about a product that I've heard a lot about recently. People in the Entree Architect community talk about it all the time. So this is going to be fun to sort of hear the background about this product and why and how it's been developed. But before we jump into that, let me introduce you. Kevin Stevens started programming on an Apple II Plus at the age of 4, which established his love for technology. After earning his degree in computer science at the University of California, San Diego, Kevin spent time as a software engineer at Apple before joining Google in its early days. He was there on a variety, working on a variety of projects and products, and helped build Google's presence internationally. He later co-founded and led Blink, the first consumer ephemeral text messaging app, which was acquired by Yahoo. And then Kevin subsequently led product teams at GoToMeeting and Thumbtack before taking on his current role and joining Occipital as CEO. Occipital, Kevin leads, there's two business units there. It's Canvas and Structure. And Canvas is the software, the app that many of us know. It's an app that saves home improvement professionals and architects days of work on every project by turning a simple iPhone or an iPad scan into accurate measurements through its scan to CAD service. So we've been talking about it a little bit in the Entree Architect community. People ask about it all the time, see how it works and why it works and all of those kind of things. So we have the man right here to talk about it. And so I'm interested in and excited about this conversation. Before we jump into Canvas, I want to know more about you, Kevin. I want to know where you started with all of this. What inspired you at the beginning and maybe who inspired you? How did you get to where you are today? Share your origin story.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. I really appreciate the intro and again, appreciate you having me on the show. I guess my story goes back to when I was pretty young. As you mentioned, I was about 4 years old when I learned to program on an Apple II Plus. And shortly thereafter, plugged the Apple II Plus into this robot and used some of the code that I wrote to make the robot move around. And I just thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
And
even today, that's cool.
It's still cool today. Exactly. We don't need cables anymore, but yeah, you can still do that today. And it's pretty exciting. So I've been excited about technology since I was very young. I had also always been excited by the stories that I read about entrepreneurs like Steve Wozniak and Steve Jobs who co-founded Apple. I even wrote a college essay about them, when I was applying for schools, wrote another college essay about a technology entrepreneur named Richard Garriott, who built, this company that made a lot of the video games that I loved playing. So I've just always been excited about technology. And its applications. So I studied computer science at UCSD and wrote code while I was there, and eventually found that, you know, one of the things I enjoyed doing most was actually, you know, instead of writing the actual software, figuring out how we could apply technology to solving users' problems. Figuring out problems that different users and people had, and what's a technology solution that can solve that problem or make that person's life better. So I spent the bulk of my career as a product manager, which is basically the person in a technology company that looks for customer problems and analyzes data on those problems and figures out how to solve that problem with technology. And that led me to the career that you talked about. And ultimately to Occipital, where when the company approached me, one of the first things that I noticed about the product was just, it was a really cool, exciting application of technology. The first time I scanned a room in my house and eventually got back, you know, a CAD model and a 2D output as well of that house, it was just this aha moment of, wow, this is, you know, who needs a tape measure anymore? And that was ultimately what led me to join the company.
So I'm super interested about this product. It's one of those things that look like magic when you use it. So can you explain, before we even jump into the product itself, what Canvas is, and then and a little bit of its origin story? How did it start, and why was it started?
Yeah, sure. So Canvas is basically an app that lets you take a simple scan of a room or a whole house, which is basically like effectively just taking a video of that space. And we use computer vision to turn that scan into a CAD output in formats that that architects use, SketchUp, Revit, 2020, Chief Architect, and so on. The idea behind it is to capture the existing conditions of a house and to get all these measurements that you might take hours, sometimes even days capturing. We can do that in the span of a few minutes just with using an iPhone or an iPad. We use LiDAR. The new devices from Apple have LiDAR in them, which helps us take really, really accurate measurements. That helps create additional accuracy in the output as well. In terms of where the product came from, Canvas's origin story, ultimately it goes back several years. You know, as 3D sensing came to more everyday devices, allowing these devices to see in 3D and in measurements, and not just in photos, which is what they had done for years, the home was where that technology was going to be most useful. Is how sort of the team thought about this. You know, your home is filled with everyday spatial decisions. You know, where am I going to put this? Is it going to fit here? Is my partner going to like it? You know, you're constantly making decisions about your space. So your phone having a 3D understanding of your home means it can start to solve those problems for you. Now, before LiDAR, LiDAR began being integrated into Apple devices maybe about a couple years ago. Before LiDAR and accurate 3D sensing came to the iPhone and the iPad, we actually had to make a device that would bridge that gap, that would provide that level of accuracy. But that device cost several hundred dollars to make, and then in turn, several hundred dollars that we had to pass on to the consumer that they would have to pay to buy. And nobody's going to do that to decide if a couch is going to fit in their living room. So we turned our focus to professionals, specifically to architects, general contractors, interior designers, and so on, who needed to measure those spaces and visualize those changes to those spaces. As LiDAR emerged, the product now is basically one that you can simply download. As long as you have a LiDAR device, you can simply download it. And our customers ultimately began telling us what they needed the most was turn all those measurements that we would give them into an as-built in the form of an editable, you know, usable CAD file. So we built the Scan-to-CAD service to save users time ultimately.
I could have used this about 25 years ago when I started. That's how I started, was doing existing conditions as a young architect before I started my firm, sort of that transition zone between working for somebody else and starting my own practice. It would have been so, so easy to just, you know, pull out my phone and scan it. Can you, just for some background, explain LiDAR and what LiDAR is and why it works with your software?
Yeah, so LiDAR is, it stands for light detection and ranging. It basically is a way of taking measurements very, very quickly by sending invisible light pulses out quickly. Everybody who's ever gotten a speeding ticket knows what LiDAR is. It is the modern way that police use to figure out how fast you're going. And it's basically an invisible beam of light. The other technology that's also relevant is computer vision, which in short is teaching machines to see. So CV is how machines like your phone or a self-driving car see, understand, and interact with the world. You use CV every day when you unlock your iPhone with your Face ID. That's computer vision. Your iPhone has to see your face, it has to understand who it is, and it has to respond accordingly. So when you combine LiDAR, which is getting all these measurements, and CV, which is teaching the machine to actually see, you get some pretty powerful technology.
So with the computer vision, with CV, the computer, the phone, is actually seeing through the camera, seeing what you're measuring, and then the LiDAR is actually doing the measuring, and those two technologies together create this accurate composition?
Yeah, more or less. Yeah, that's more or less exactly how it works. We're combining the teaching of the phone, how to see, and using the measurements that we're picking up from LiDAR to put together this accurate, 99% accurate model of a home.
I remember when Canvas was first introduced that there was an accessory that you had to buy, right? There was something that you had to clip on your iPad, and it was only iPad, I think, at the time. And then that accessory was what actually allowed you to make these measurements. Is that right?
And yeah, exactly. So it's called the structure sensor, and it's something that we actually do offer, although that business is turned into a new business, which is more for medical professionals and so on. But back in the day, you're right that the structure sensor was the only way that you could capture those measurements with any degree of accuracy. You know, the product still works with an ordinary, what we call mono capture with an ordinary phone, but it's much, much less accurate. With LiDAR, you get that level of accuracy, and the structure sensor was what provided that level of accuracy before LiDAR became integrated with everyday phones.
So the structure sensor, that I'm assuming that did not use LiDAR, that probably used some other technology, or was it using LiDAR?
It's using LiDAR/laser in some way. Yeah, there's it's a little bit different than what might be on your phone exactly, but the principle is the same.
Right, and then Apple came, or lots of phone companies, manufacturers introduced LiDAR on their phones, and so you no longer need to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Have the structure sensor.
And we hope more will do it. You know, we get a lot of requests for when are you going to be on Android. You know, it's a question of, we want to make sure that, you know, that the product works best when it has LiDAR capability, and we want to make sure that our customers are not, you know, that they're getting, frankly, as high a level of accuracy as we can possibly give them. So as LiDAR continues to be released on more devices, it'll become more ubiquitous. But right now, you know, Apple's kind of led the way on that, and which is why it's on the higher end iPhones and iPads.
Yeah, and that's probably a big struggle from a startup point of view, right? You're creating this technology. The technology's not perfect at first. People try that technology. Not exactly, you know, as good as you had hoped it might be. And then through the years, it gets better and better and better. And so now you have to go back and find some of those people who have tried it to try it again, right? And so that's where you are today, because it's working now much, well, it worked then too, but it's much more accurate today than it was when you first introduced it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, huge problem. You capture the crux of any startup founders, you know, or startup CEO's challenge, which is, you know, the technology is not always on pace with, you know, the problems that we're trying to solve and so on. And it's true that back in the day, you know, people might've tried Canvas and said, oh, it's, you know, I like the idea in principle, but just doesn't do quite the level of what I need it to do. As that technology has developed, as LiDAR has become more ubiquitous, and, you know, as the technology has gotten better, it's true that now, you know, we need to go back to some of those users and say, hey, the technology is continuing to improve. And even today, you know, it is definitely not where we want it to be. You know, when it comes down to capturing that, you know, that 16th of an inch accuracy, we can't get there right now. You know, the combination of CV and LiDAR just isn't there yet. So that's why the application of this is much more about capturing existing conditions and things like that. But you're not going to be able to use any combination of LiDAR or CV to, say, install cabinets or measure down to a 16th of an inch. Someday we hope to be able to do that. Someday we hope the technology is there. And someday we hope to get all of those customers who want to use us for that use case. But yeah, as technology continues to evolve, you know, we have to, we're sort of solving an increasing subset of problems at each stage that we go to.
Yeah, I have no doubt that someday it will be even more accurate than 16th of an inch. The way technology is evolving and progressing, no doubt that it will be there. Let's take a break to thank our sponsors for their support of this episode. As architecture demand increases toward pre-pandemic levels and beyond, how are you and your architecture firm keeping up? RCAT is here to help. RCAT.com offers several free tools to help architecture and design firms like yours get work done faster. Use RCAT's powerful search engine to find the right products for your projects. And download BIM, CAD, and specifications right there on the same page without needing to pay or register. It's free. RCAT.com also offers product videos, catalogs, green reports, product certification information, outline and short form specification generation, and so much more. Visit RCAT.com today. RCAT.com is your one-stop solution to help increase your productivity and get more projects done faster. That's RCAT.com, ARCAT.com. FreshBooks makes it simple to send invoices, post your expenses automatically, track your time for your whole team by project, and get organized with financial reports, communication, and notifications. My favorite feature in FreshBooks is the automated invoice reminders. I think sending invoices and getting paid is one of the biggest barriers to our success as entrepreneur architects. Who has the time? But if we don't send out the invoices, we don't get paid, right? FreshBooks makes it easy to send out your invoices and get paid fast, online, with a click of a button. And when your client doesn't pay you on time, FreshBooks will send them a friendly email reminder through a simple system that you control. Sign up for a free 30-day unrestricted trial and get ready for the simplest way to be more productive, organized, and most importantly, get paid faster. Go to entrearchitect.com/freshbooks and enter Entree Architect in the How Did You Hear About Us section. That's entrearchitect.com/freshbooks. Please visit our platform sponsors today and thank them for supporting you, the Entree Architect community. So today somebody downloads the app from the App Store. How accurate is it? How accurate can they expect it to be?
Yeah, so it's on average 99% accurate. And it really depends on a lot of things. So we say that's an average, of course. You know, there's use cases where you can imagine where, you know, you're getting down to, you're only able to get down to an inch or maybe a half inch accuracy. And there's other use cases where you can get a lot more accurate. It really all depends on kind of what you're scanning and how the scan looks and so on. But on average, we're getting to roughly 99% accuracy. Certainly, we've got, as we continue to put out new versions of the product, we're always working on that accuracy algorithm and always working on improving that. But right now, you know, it's good enough to where, you know, you can build an as-built from it, where you can capture existing conditions. You know, you can certainly get pretty accurate measurements and reasonably accurate measurements for, say, you know, widths of doorways and, you know, dimensions of rooms and, you know, what is the area of this floor and so on, enough that you might need to know to figure out where you're going to move walls and what a, you know, what a kitchen might look like, for example.
Yeah, thinking about the workflow of a typical small firm architecture project, it probably would be a great tool to very quickly get to schematic design, right? So you get this project, you sign the contract, you could jump right into the project the next day with Canvas, do your scan, get the CAD file ready to go. You know it's not going to be perfect, but it's enough to start, you know, sketching on it and understanding the project, being able to produce some preliminary ideas for a client, and then be able to use that model, go back and check on some measurements, make sure it's more accurate. And then roll it into, you know, the production, you know, the design side, and you know, when you get into the details and into the construction side of it all.
Yeah, absolutely. There's that whole workflow that you know that we think about. You know, we call it the customer journey. Is what is the journey of an architect? What's the journey of some of our other customers and how they're going through thinking about, you know, how would they solve this problem without our product? And then what are some of the areas that we can improve for them? Right now, you're right, you know, we're only addressing, you know, a small part of that journey. There's certainly a lot in terms of visualization. There's a lot in terms of, furthering the design of that project. For a contractor, you can imagine that a lot of what they want to do is they want to, they want to be able to sell and gain more business. So that's sort of part of the journey that we ultimately want to get into for them as well. So there's a lot more of this journey that we want to get into. And that's why it's useful for us to talk to a lot of architects and kind of understand, you know, well, what are the problems that you have day to day? What are the problems that we can solve for you? Because we're only solving one small piece of that right now.
Yeah. Is there a place where the listeners, you're talking to thousands of small firm architects right now. So is there a place at Canvas that they can reach out to you with ideas and suggestions?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so first of all, they can always see the product itself at canvas.io, but I always welcome emails from users directly. I'm kevin@occipital.com. And if that's hard to remember, kevin@canvas.io will also get to me. I love it when people send me emails. And in fact, you know, one of the getting back to my, you know, love of Apple for a second and how it that sort of formed who I am. You know, I was always impressed that you know, Steve Jobs responded to emails personally all the time. You know, even like I was fortunate to meet him once, but anytime I dropped him an email, he just always wrote back, which I thought was amazing. So I, as you know, CEO of this company, I love hearing from customers. I want to hear from customers. I frankly want to get emails from customers every day saying, hey, can you build this? Can you focus on this? I have this problem. You know, here's a problem of mine you can fix. Or can you talk to me? Why don't you come on site, watch what I do and see some of the problems that I have, and then you can build better products from that. And that's what product management is all about. That's what building products is all about, is we want to truly understand what customers' problems are so we can build technology that's useful for them.
All right. Well, if you've used Canvas or have suggestions for Kevin, reach out to him by email. We'll have those email addresses, or one of those email addresses, in the show notes. So you can do that. Just go to the show notes for this episode and you'll be able to link that up. I'm just curious about the structure sensor, using it for structure with medical. I want to just divert a little bit away from architecture right now and just understand how it's being used for the medical side.
Yeah. Yeah. So what the medical community is doing. So if you think about, so we largely work with orthotics and prosthetics and the doctors that serve those patients and the fabricators that make those orthotics and prosthetics. So you think about something, a common medical issue. Now you go see your doctor and say, I have foot pain. You know, hey doctor, can you help me out? My foot hurts a lot when I walk. Doctor takes a look and says, all right, you have plantar fasciitis. Well, what happened back in the day is to get, you know, things like custom insoles or maybe even custom made footwear that can, you know, help with this problem. You know, the patient would have to step into this clay box that would, you know, basically firm up around the person's foot and take an accurate mold. That clay box has to then be shipped back to the fabricator. And the fabricator then has to design and make those custom made insoles for that patient. It's an extraordinarily long process. It involves multiple visits to the doctor because you have to get the box first that's full of all that clay. And it's naturally, you know, you're spending that both the doctor and the fabricator are spending a lot of money and time on parts of the process that really aren't serving the patient. And of course, you can guess who pays for them. The patient ends up paying for them eventually. So what we've done is what the structure sensor will do is the doctor can hook up that sensor to an iPad and take a scan of that patient's foot right there in the office, potentially on the first visit. That scan gets sent electronically to the fabricator, and the fabricator is able to make those custom-made insoles for that patient. It makes the process a lot faster, makes it a lot smoother. It's less prone to error because it doesn't involve, you know, physical action and so on. It's kind of cool. You know, patients see that and they say, wow, this is really interesting. And there's lots of other use cases as well, but that's sort of one of the most common.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I every time I'm on this podcast, I'm talking to somebody like you. I'm just so grateful that I'm living at this time in history. It's just so fascinating, the things that are being developed while we're sitting here talking.
Yeah, you know, it's super exciting. I agree. You know, as I think back to the technology we had, you know, when I was growing up and learning to program, just how far we've come. You know, one of the reasons, it's funny you mentioned, you know, that one of the reasons I went to UCSD was when I went on a tour of the campus, I got to see where one of four National Science Foundation supercomputers were sitting. It was basically the foundation, like the backbone of the internet. The machine was called a Cray, one of the you know, first supercomputers. And I saw it, and it was just so exciting seeing it in living color and right there in front of me. And now this giant machine that took up basically the space of a room, you could fill a small bedroom with a Cray. That supercomputing power is now in your pocket on your phone.
Yeah, right.
And that's exciting about technology, is that it just keeps on, you know, getting better and better and faster, and you can do things like, you know, scanning feet or scanning houses, and all these applications that that we never could do previously. And you think about, well, where are we going to be in 30 years or 40 years? It's sort of just mind blowing to think about what that journey might look like.
Yeah, and that's my next question. While you're talking about that, what's the future? What's the future of Occipital? Where does Canvas go from here? Where does Structure go from here?
Yeah. So we'll talk about Canvas first. So Canvas, if you think about the journey of a house, you know, houses are planned, they are built, they're bought, they're financed, they're insured, they're sold, they're remodeled, and they're sold again. That's the journey that a house goes through. We're addressing a tiny sliver of that journey. You know, we're only addressing the home improvement customer right now. We're addressing architects, interior designers, general contractors, and so on. There's a whole lot that goes into a house beyond that. And eventually we want to expand out and address that entire journey. You know, there's a use case for having your phone, or having, you know, your home be right in your pocket. Whether you are shopping for a new couch and you want to see if it's going to fit in your house, or whether you're, you know, refinancing your house and you want to basically provide all the information instantly to the bank, or whether you're planning a remodel or even selling your house. You know, having that entire home, the whole model in your pocket is really, really powerful. And that's ultimately where we see us going. In terms of Structure, you know, we want to continue to solve problems for doctors and patients. We are, when it comes to that technology, we're only addressing a small area that we could actually be doing so, because the technology for scanning people's limbs and scanning people's bodies and so on, the technology for that is very, very, very specific. And we have to write, the code that we have to write has to be pretty much tailored to that specific use case. So you can imagine, you know, moving beyond just scanning feet and things like that to all these other use cases that are important to the medical community, that are important to orthotics and prosthetics doctors. You know, there's wound care and wound documentation and things like that. All these other areas that are very manual processes for doctors and for everybody else that is in their ecosystem. And we want to solve all of those problems.
Yeah. Fascinating. It's interesting how that your technology started as the same technology, and then it was applied to these two different applications, and you can actually see it diverging, right? That one, the technology is moving in one direction for homes and construction, and then another direction for medical uses. And eventually probably it ends up in very different places, but it all starts in the same place.
Yeah, exactly. And it all goes back to just, you know, that happens because, you know, we don't decide what we build. Our customers do. Our customers tell us, you know, this is the problem I have. And you know, here's a problem I have. And then we end up building something that solves their problem. And that's why I love hearing from customers directly. You know, I want to know what problems they have, because, you know, I'm not going to know what problem to solve without hearing from them. And Canvas came about specifically from our customers saying, hey, you should do this. You should solve this problem for me. And ultimately that's how a lot of technology comes about.
Yeah. Yeah. Super interesting. I'm interested in technology. I'm interested in people, and I'm really interested. I'm really fascinated about the time that we're living in and how all these different technologies are starting to almost converge into, you know, it's becoming, like you said, having the house in your pocket, right? That's literally what's going to happen. There's going to be a digital twin on your phone that everything that's in your house is also in your pocket on the computer. So you can actually, you want to know what's on your nightstand in your bedroom, you can actually, yep, slide, you know, pick up the phone and you can actually see what's there at any time. It's amazing the technology, where it is, and the capabilities of what it has to take us for tomorrow. Super interesting, Kevin. Thanks for coming by and talking to us about Occipital and the projects that you have going on there. Before we wrap up, I want to ask you the one question that I ask everybody here. This is a question that I always love to ask because you always get different answers to this. What's one thing that a small firm architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow?
Yeah, love this question, by the way.
I would say, you know, focus on the areas of the business that give you the most flex, you know, that are going to be most helpful to the business. You know, the areas that matter most to the business are getting clients and delivering something they want. But, you know, so much else goes into building a business, you know, keeping the company's books and running payroll, for example. The more you can outsource or delegate those tertiary areas, the more you can focus on the things that really matter to the business. And technology is one of those things that can help with this in a lot of areas, whether it's, you know, outsourcing staff or hiring remote or, you know, generating as-builts quickly and painlessly. Leaning into technology can help you focus on what matters most to the business. And ultimately, you know, focusing on the core business itself is going to help entrepreneurs continue to feel passionate about building a company.
Yeah, super. I'm hoping you're listening. Listen and go back and listen to that again, my friends, because that is a very, very important thing to understand. Focus on the things that you do well and that your clients want from you and get somebody else to do everything else. That's coming from a CEO of a successful tech company. Go back and rewind and listen to it again. Kevin, I appreciate you for sharing that. His name is Kevin Stevens. The company is Occipital. The product is Canvas. You can learn more about it at canvas.io. And you can go on the App Store right now. You can search for Canvas LiDAR 3D measurements. There's a bunch of canvases in there. You're looking for Canvas LiDAR 3D measurements. That will get you to the app. Download it. Check it out. It's amazing. It's magic. You should go check it out. Kevin, thank you very much for coming by. Thank you for all you're doing for our industry. This is making our jobs as architects easier so we can focus on the things that we love to do as architects. I appreciate you for coming by and sharing your knowledge at Entre Architect Podcast.
Thanks, Mark. I really appreciate you having me, and thank you so much. It's been great to be here.
If you liked this episode of Entre Architect Podcast, please share a rating, write a review, and share a link to this episode with a friend. That's how Entre Architect Podcast will grow to serve thousands more architects just like you. Thanks to our sponsors, FreshBooks and RCAT, for their support of this episode. Links to our sponsors and all the resources we discussed today are available at the show notes for this episode found at entrearchitect.com/podcast. Entre Architect is a member of the Gable Media Podcast Network. Gable Media is curated thought leadership for an audience dedicated to building a better world. Listen and subscribe to all the shows at gablemedia.com. That's gablemedia.com. And check out Entre Architect Academy membership. Ready to edit business resources, live monthly business training for architects, a supportive architect community, and Simple Systems, our business system program developed for you, the small firm architect. It's all waiting for you at Entre Architect Academy membership, including AIA Continuing Education Learning Units. Come join me and hundreds of your entrepreneur architect friends at entrearchitect.com/join. Enroll today at entrearchitect.com/join. Thanks for listening today. Love, learn, and share what you know.